Why don't you take time to say hello to your brothers and sisters in the Lord? All right? Bless them. All right? Let's take opportunity. Brother Allen. Brother Allen. Now, Kathy, what are you going to do to get them back in order? Okay. All right. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. That's code word for find your seat. Right, praise the name of the Lord.
Brother John, Brother
Ron. All right. Amen. Praise God. A couple little things here, all right? Okay, here, number one. Tristan's going to share something about what we're doing here. Go right ahead.
So don't forget the YouTube channel. It's Relevant Faith Church.
Speak up.
Please like, subscribe. We've got like 7 subscribers, and we got more than 7 people in the church. So come on, y'all. And share it with someone who doesn't have a way to get to church, or someone who is not physically able to get out to church. Share it with your family. Share it with someone, anyone, everyone. Oh, I just said it's Relevant Faith Church. It's on YouTube, okay? You can find it like that, and just subscribe where you can get notifications, the sermons, the YouTube shorts. Like the video. When people watch it, when they subscribe, when they like it, when they share it, that helps the algorithm to push it out to other people who will actually get to see it. Because if people are not liking sharing, subscribing, then they're not going to show it, right? So we do have more. It's like 7 subscribers, but we're bigger than that, y'all. So let's just participate and get the word out there.
Amen. Renee, you come on, okay? I'll give you a minute here to speak. I'll be timing you.
I usually don't take real long, I don't think. No, I just, told him, I said, this morning coming to church, I was praying, and the Lord showed me a vision. I saw it, and it goes with everything today. And I saw this big storm, like, I didn't see a tornado, but the storm was so big that everything, it had just took down houses and things were flying around. And the Lord showed me, he said, hang on, there was like this stone that wasn't moving. And I saw a person hang on to this stone, and then I saw the wings of the Lord come around the person. And what he showed me was, he said, if my people will hang on to me, I'm going to engulf them in my wings, and I'm going to protect them from the storm. This is a time of celebration as you're in this, and you're in this covering. You worship and you seek him. And he said, I'm uprooting everything, all this stuff. And I realized that everything was that was buried deep, that was buried around, everything that we hung on to. And if you keep your eyes on the things flying in the storm, that are personal that you wanted to hang on to. He said it's going to cause you to be in the storm and get injured and hurt. You've got to stay under my wings. And he said, don't look at the opinions, at the things going on around, what people say, what the enemy says, and what you used to hang on to and what used to be. You know, I saw it looking, kind of peeking out, and you could see, oh, I didn't know that was going to go away. I thought that was always going to be. And he's saying, I'm pulling up everything. It's not going to be like it used to be. And there's things that's got to go that you got to let go of that you even thought was going to always be there. And he said, I'm pulling it all up. And he said, I want you to hide under my wings right now, because when you come out of my wings, and this is where he showed me, Beatrice, the body of Christ that comes out from underneath this wings, he said, they will be the church that will put the enemy under their feet. And you will see with your own eyes the wicked defeated.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his holy righteous name. Amen. Okay, let's be turning to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And as you're turning there, I'll say a few other words in just a minute. First of all, I want to thank everybody for all the hard work for the men's dinner that we had last night. It was a great event, and I just want to say thank you to Charlie. Thank you so much, and to Daryl. I want to thank Greg Wells as well, and Mike. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And others. I know that Gina contributed some food. Thank you, Gina. We appreciate that and other things. So it was just a good time in the Lord, and we just really appreciate that. So thank you again. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, with a word that I had, and I didn't say anymore, but let me tell you what my experience was. Is the word that I had right there was I had the Spirit of the Lord speak to me. I didn't know I was going to have that word. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me first, and he said to me, I'm about to release gladness and joy in this place. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to get rid of your staunch and proper spirit of dignity before God? You ready to get rid of it? No. I'm teasing you, but I'm not. Anyway. Stay on the foundation. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I tell you what, there's just nothing more exciting than to go and belong to a church that has the life of God flowing in it. I'm telling you, it's better than going to Disneyland, all right? Yes, it is. It's better than going to Disneyland. It's more exciting, you know, to go than going to Disneyland or anywhere else you'd want to go, you know. And then when you've got that going on, and I mean, the Spirit of the Lord is flowing, and the spirit of joy and gladness, you know, and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. There's no place you'd rather be. There's just absolutely no other place you'd rather be. Okay, you know, and that we're heading into that. I'm not saying we don't have nothing. I'm just saying we're heading into that. It's being turned loose. Okay. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So what I have on my heart here, the word that is given me this morning is, what does it mean to go forward in Jesus? I know that's quite a mouthful right there. And I'm going to be dealing with one aspect of it. I'm probably carrying it off in different phases of time, maybe under different titles. But we're going to be looking at the promises of God and understanding the promises and how God wants to bring the promises into our lives. And when we talk about promises, what we're talking about is that we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about living in the kingdom of God versus living in the world. Now, you know, you as a believer have that choice. It amazes me, you know, how much the love of God gives us free will. that we can choose what we're going to do. You can choose to be saved or you can choose not to be saved. You can choose to live for Jesus or you can choose not to live for Jesus. The biggest challenge that I think that believers have is they hold on to, many do, they hold on to 1 foot in the world and then 1 foot in the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you, that's a very dangerous place to be. It is a very dangerous place to be. You know, so you want to let the Lord have his way and you want to follow him and you want to be one who lives in the kingdom, who lives according to the covenant of Almighty God. You know, that's what we have in Jesus. We talk a lot about being saved. You would think that that was the sum total of all, that just be saved. But yet the Bible talks about that in three ways. I have been saved, I am being saved, and that I will be saved. Because this is a covenant agreement. Salvation is on a covenant agreement. You know, the Spirit of God does not come up to you and give you a white mark on your spirit man. And then now that's the end of it. And that's called salvation. And that's the way it's kind of presented a lot of times. But I want you to know it's based on a relationship. It's based on a relationship. It's based on a covenant relationship that we walk in and then we walk with the Lord. And as we walk in that covenant relationship with the Lord, that's first and foremost of all things is that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That you may know him, that you may follow him, that you may have a communion and a fellowship with him. Because I won't turn to it, but even the Word of God says, talks about in the realm of the Spirit, the eyes of your heart. You have eyes not only in your head, but you've got eyes that are in your heart. And glory to God for those eyes. Glory to God that we live by faith and not by sight. Because if we live by sight, some people are like, oh gosh, you know, why did they make it so hard? You know, we got to live by faith. Well, you press into that faith and you'll find out that you don't want that sight. You don't want that sight. You want to live by faith and you want to be a person of faith because the Holy Spirit begins to give you the eyes of your heart. That's, I think, in Ephesians 3, and you'll find that. And then that you're able to see in the realm of the Spirit what your natural eyes could never behold. You know, and you're not being dictated by what your natural eyes see. You're being dictated by what the eyes of the Spirit in your heart are telling you and what you see confirmed through the Word of the Lord. You know, and then it causes you to rise up and to lay hold of God. It causes you to rise up and you find faith in your life. You find faith flowing in your heart because it's a living thing. It's a living thing. You choose faith. The Spirit blesses faith. You choose faith. You're not left alone, but you have to choose it. That's the remarkable thing that I find all through the Word of the Lord is that we have to walk by making choices. We have to make choices. We have to receive from God. He's got a great will for us. He's got a great purpose for us. And we find that in the promises of God that he's giving us. But yet there they are. You're the one that has to rise up and make the decision that you're going to lay hold or you're going to receive the promises of God. Just like the Holy Spirit will move in a man's life and will give him multiple opportunities to be saved. And multiple opportunities that will come his way all through his lifetime. But God's never going to push him. Well, you may press him hard, but he's not going to push him. He's not going to push him. You have to make that decision. And so it is in receiving the promises of God. You know, you can be one that goes the way of the Spirit, and you can call on the name of the Lord, and you can walk in that covenant of God, and you're always pressing forward, and you're always believing God. You're always laying hold of that covenant promises, which is found in this word right here, and you're going forward in the Lord. Or you can sit there like a knot on a log and do nothing. You can do whichever one you want. One, God brings them forward. They brings them forward and brings them upward in him in ways that they never dreamed. The other one kind of stays still right there and sees very little change and very little answer to prayer. You know, so these are decisions that are before us in the Lord. And we want to be those that rise up and lay hold of this covenant and lay hold of the promises of God. There's the first thing that I want you to see about the promises, even though I know that you're well acquainted with it. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it's verse 20. In verse 20, it says, for as many, and so there are many promises. You know, that's why I would say, you know, hey, be in the Word, right? You know, be in the Word. Yes, let's just be old-fashioned people for a little bit, right? Let's lay the computer down. Let's lay the phone down and everything else that's biding for your time. And hey, let's lay hold of God. Let's lay hold of these many. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful to know that there are many promises of God, right? Many promises of God. And the more that you're into the Word, the more, not in theory, but in practice, you're in the Word, okay? And if the more you are, then the more you're going to find the Spirit of God laying a hold of you. Man, He'll come to you. He'll start talking to you. He'll catch you with something because He's just waiting to move in your life. That's what love does. He just loves you. He just loves you so much. And He wants you to find and He wants you to know His blessings and His goodness. You know, and you never become so mature in the Lord, you know, that God doesn't have a plan, something for you more for tomorrow. He's always got a plan. He's always got more that He wants to unfold. But will we go? Will we go? Will we go with Him? Will we let Him do that? But there are many, for as many as may be the promises of God. Now, that word promise right there, I'm going to spell it for you. It's a E-P-A-G-G-E-L-I-A, epigelia. And that's the word promise. And it means a promise. It means what is promised. And the root word, for the word promise right there, and how about this? The root word is to proclaim over. To proclaim over or to make a claim. You know, that's why, you know, faith proclamations are so important for you in your life, that you make faith proclamations over yourself, over your loved ones, over your job, over your situation, over your problems, over your needs, over your heart, over your life, and on and on and on, that you go before the Lord and you make faith proclamations. Get out of that spirit of begging for God to do something, right? Get out of it, all right? It's doing you no good. All it's going to do is wear you out, and God doesn't answer prayers because you get real pitiful before Him, okay? He just does not. You may be able to move other people like that, you know, like a man just hate to see a woman cry, right? Go ahead, honey, you can have it, you can have it. And then she turns around and smiles as she goes her way. Nah, I'm sure that never happens. I'm in trouble now, right? Yeah, I'm in trouble now. But you know what? What we do, we learn, and you know, we've seen it with children as well, right? You know, when they hit you buttons, you know, because of certain behavior, and you've been saying no, and now, okay. God is not moved that way. He's not moved that way. He's not going to be moved that way, okay? He doesn't give in. All right. So, you know, we got to come God's way, and we want to believe upon the Lord. You got to call upon the Lord. You got to make faith proclamations. You're going to see the mighty hand of God if you make faith proclamations. You ought to get your list. If you don't have your list, you don't have your notebook, get you one, right? And, you know, and you have a paper trail of walking with the Lord and words that the Spirit of God will speak to you. And He'll give you a word, and it may just be a word. And then He wants you to begin to pray about that word. You know, and you begin to pray. And then the Spirit of God will begin to illuminate understanding that He gives you. And you know what the Spirit of God is doing? You know what the Spirit of God is trying to do? He's going to open a door that otherwise couldn't ever be opened any other way. And on, if He doesn't have your attention to be able to bring you into such things, then how do you ever expect such things to ever happen in your life? They won't. But He will. He will. And there will be avenues and doors that are open to you in ways that would never have ever been ever open in your life. Just keep listening. You know, just keep listening. to the Lord. Just keep listening. Write it down. Put it down. And let go. Let go of the enemy's old plan. Is, oh, I don't know. Is that God or is that me? Forget about it. Forget about it. It's going to go away if it's you. But you start acting upon it. And you know, you keep walking, begin to make faith proclamations through the promises in God's word. You begin to speak those things, and then they become stronger. Okay? They get stronger. Something starts coming to you. Because, I mean, you're just looking at no evidence of any of it ever happening whatsoever. You know, and then something starts speaking to you. And the whole wild idea that you'd ever believe any of that would ever take place, right? Okay? And, but then it gets stronger. Oh, you just got hooked into something. You just got hooked into the power of God. You just got hooked into the Holy Spirit of the living God. And he wants to use you as his vessel in the earth to do mighty and great and wonderful things for his purpose, his kingdom, and his will. Enough of this pitiful church stuff. All right? Let's come out of it. Right? Let's come out of it. You know, woe is me, us poor little pitiful people that we are. Let's lay hold of the power of God. Let's lay hold of the power of God. You know, and then when we lay hold of the power of God, eventually what we're going to have to do is we're at the door, we're going to get so full that we're going to say, okay, number six, you may come in. Number six, come in. Have you got number six? I'm joking, but I'm not. Now, we can stay in the pitiful church mode, and that's what we'll be. That's what we'll be. And I'm not just talking about us, but I am talking about us. I happen to be here this morning. This is where you are. That's what we're going to talk about, right? Okay? You know, or the church as a whole. I am powerless to do anything, but I got a friend that can do a lot. Right? Right? I got a friend that can do a lot. And oh, when his Holy Spirit gets loosed on things that can't be changed any other way, I'm telling you right now, mountains begin to move. They begin to move. And in other words, because we also begin to let him take charge. That's part of what the word was this morning, is letting the Holy Spirit take charge, right? Okay? And we let the Holy Spirit take charge. You know how many churches will pray for revival, and then when God begins to come, they shut it down? And the reason they shut it down, because it wasn't the revival that they wanted. Right? Okay? God started doing things that, oh, wait a minute, you know? I don't know if I like that or not, right? Okay? You know? So, you know, that happened. Everybody, every Christian wants revival. Every pastor wants revival, you know, but he wants revival his way, okay? And he's not going to do it your way. He's not going to do it my way. He's not going to do it your way. He's not going to do it the relevant faith way, okay? He's going to do it his way. We got an opportunity to follow him, or we can pass it up and forget it. That's very important, but you want it. You, personally. Don't you want to be something different than what you are? Huh? Do you want to be something different than what you are? I'm not saying what you are is bad. I'm just saying, don't you want to be different? Don't you want to be different? Do you have vision? Do you have vision in your heart? Right? You know, I want to say something to you. You know, maybe part of that vision is not just wild thoughts. Maybe God wants you to begin to act on it, right? Act on it. Watch what God will do. Promises. Okay, faith, proclamations. It means to proclaim over or to make a claim, okay? Make a claim, right? All right? You know, I love watching some of the old cowboy movies, right? The old black and white, you know. I'm a Gene Autry fan. I'm a Roy Rogers fan, you know. They always win. They always win, right? And, you know, they'll be claim jumpers, right? You know, on their gold mine or whatever it would be, right? That's a common theme right there, you know. And somebody makes claim, you know. Well, we're to make claim upon the treasures of what's been given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not going to fall in your lap. They're going to be claimed. They're going to be claimed. You have to stand up in the Lord Jesus, and you have to begin to proclaim. You begin to make claim of this covenant that has been given to you, astonishing things that are in this covenant. Why don't you get into this covenant? Why don't you begin to call and make proclamation? Get you some paper, right? And listen to the Holy Spirit and write it down. Write it down and then act upon it. Act upon it, right? Okay? And I got my little book and I put things down that God speaks to me, and then I put dates by them. And then, you know, what I do is not only the current things that are going on in my life, but also then I'll start thumbing back. I start thumbing back, and then I come upon one right here, and I see it, you know, at, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to start praying that again. And I lift it up before the Lord because I haven't seen the fulfillment of it. I haven't seen the fulfillment of it. All right. Well, then it goes on and says this, and it says it may be as many as may be the promise of God. Now look at this. In him they are yes, and because of that, wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God. And you know, amen is so be it, right? So be it. We submit to it. We let it work in our lives as we receive it. And then it goes on to the glory of God. And I want you to hear that. Did you hear that? Everybody loves this verse. Everybody reads this verse. But did you see the last part of what I just read? Also, by him is our amen. And then look at this. To the glory of God. A lot of times we don't talk about that when we talk about the promises of God. And then a lot of people have been taught wrong about the promises of God. They turn it into a wish book, is what they do. They turn it into a wish book. You think that's what the promises were. They're just a wish book. Now, I do say to you that you get into the Word and, you know, and take the Word. And I take Psalms a lot. And then what I do is I'll read a Psalm and it's not speaking to me. I pass it over and I'll go to another one. I'll read a little bit. I'll pass it over and read another one. And then all of a sudden I'll run into something. Ooh, it starts speaking to my heart. Right? I mean, of many different types of activities, but that's a good one to do. Okay? That's a good one to do. You know, and then you begin, you know, and I'm not looking for some, you know, word from God, but I am, okay? Nothing wrong with that, you know, but I'm going to act by faith regardless. But you understand, as God brings the fulfillment of the promises, that first and foremost, it's just not for your pleasure. It's not for simply your comfort. It's not simply for your personal want or your personal need, but let it be, it's unto the glory of God. Did you hear that? It's unto the glory of God. That's a very important point that's being made right there. And then the second important point is this, is that you understand that all of those promises, for as many as may be the promises of God, so that's a vast and large category, it may be the promises of God. In him, they are, everybody say yes. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Daddy? Can I have the car keys tonight? Yes. You know, Mama? I'm kind of talking about myself in my past a little bit. You know, Mama, can you imagine? You know, can I have the gasoline credit card tonight? You know? Yeah. Yes, son, you may. I was spoiled rotten, okay? I just was spoiled rotten. It's a wonder I turned out to anything, okay? I was, you know. Because my mother and dad had nothing, and they spoiled us because, you know, they had nothing. They didn't want us to do without. That wasn't always necessarily the best thing in the world, you know. And my mother, you know, my dad, I guess he knew. He never said anything about it. You know, my mother would say, you know, can you imagine my mother signed everything, Mrs. Harold L. Phillips? She signed checks. You wouldn't even have known her name was Nancy, right? You know, she had Mrs. Harold L. Phillips. That's how my mother signed, you know, that's how she signed her checks. Right? You know, and so, you know, she'd give me the gasoline credit card, right? You know, sometimes I didn't even have to ask for it, you know. You know, say, Ronnie, right? You know, this would be in the summertime, you know. I had a great car, all right? You know, I had a 1964 baby blue Lamaze convertible, okay? Right? I had a great car. But Mom would say, Ronnie, do you want the car today? You know, and it said, well, come take me to work, because she worked 24 years down at S.W. Anderson's. And, you know, and so I'd take her to work, you know, and I'd have her car, okay? And then she'd slip me the gasoline credit card, you know. Anyway, yes. Everybody say yes. So in Him, right? Glory to God. Quit trying to earn it in any way and just believe it. Okay? Quit trying to earn it. You know, why did my mother do that? I'm not saying everything that she did was right. I know. But you know, I know why she did it too. She loved me. Right? You know, His love is perfect. His love is perfect. But that's what, you know, to bless, right? To bless, you know? I mean, she could have easily loved me and not give me the car, not give me the credit card or whatever it be. So, but over in abundance, if my mother was that way, what do you think your God's like? Amen. Glory to God. Anyway, and let me listen. How about this one? Talking about God's promises. This comes from Joshua in Joshua chapter 21. Now listen to it. I love this. I just love it. Verse 45, it says, not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Woo! That's amazing, isn't it? Right? I mean, not one of the promises of God, Joshua 21:45, right? They all came to pass. And so my question to you and me today would be, how much more so in Christ Jesus, our Lord? How much more so does He anxiously wait to move into our lives because we begin to do something that is fundamental to the covenant, and that is that we call on the name of the Lord, you know, and that we begin to claim. We begin to claim, okay, that which has been promised to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. How much more so, if that's what the word of the Lord was, and this is what happened, and this is what it said, not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed, all came to pass. And this is another one. Now, this is important. This is now, listen, this is in 2 Peter 1:4. It says, for by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order by them, now listen, you might become a partakers of the divine nature. Did you hear that? Okay. So with the promises also comes the transforming power of God. Not just simply for you to receive something from God, but that you receive something that's filled with the life of God. And we're filled with the life of God brings the transforming power of God into you. And that is as much a part as receiving the promises of God as them being fulfilled. Are you with me? And that's a part a lot of people don't get. You know, as the promises come, God's bringing you into the blessings and the way of the kingdom of God and the way of the Spirit of the Lord, because that's who you really are. And that's what He's wanting you to possess, all in Him. But as He's doing it, He's bringing transformation into you. And see, that's why promises don't work for people who don't want to be changed. That's why people get mad, they blame God. And it seems like some of them, the only promises they can believe on are the ones that they think that God promises to make them rich, right? And then they don't ever really, or if they're in desperate need, all right? And that's the only time they really look to believe God for promises. They think it's like shopping at the candy store. That's what they think. It's like shopping at the candy store. There's a goodie. I want that one. There's a goodie up there. I like that one too. And the body of Christ has been taught this stuff. They've been taught this stuff from the pulpit right here. Not this one, but I mean the pulpits around America. That's what they've been taught. But I want you to know that there's a condition to every promise that God's made with you. This is one of the conditions right here, is that you let the transforming power of God come into your life as you also receive the promised blessing that's been inaugurated by His blood and cannot fail. Another one here. Let me give you another one real quick right here. Here's another one. And this comes from Hebrews 6:12. And listen, it says, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Ah, So are you seeing some conditions going on here? There's conditions that are going on here. Let me go back to one. I'm sorry, because I need to complete it. Or I'm going to read that one that I just read, 2 Peter 1:4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. Now listen, you know how important it is for you to be a partaker of the divine nature? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Wow, I think it's kind of important, don't you? It's kind of important. So you let the transforming power of God, and what he does with the promises coming into your life, not only does he fulfill what he's promised you, but he changes your desire. He changes your heart. You become more tunnel visioned over what your purpose is and what you delight in, what you want in life, you know, and you begin to forsake ways of the world that a lot of the church approves of. But it doesn't matter if the church approves of it or not. If it's the way of the world, it's displeasing to God. Okay? There's a lot of worldliness in the church. There's a lot of worldliness in the church. All right, we got to get the worldliness out. You got to get the worldliness out of your heart. All right? Because worldliness, it's not good. I'll cover that another day. But I want you to know, and that is a big point with the church today that nobody wants to talk about, right? And preachers don't want to preach about it, right? We can have Jesus and the world both. We can have Jesus and the world. I can have my flesh. I can have my flesh. I can be just like everybody else, only I go to church. And I believe in Jesus. Now, I don't know what all that means, you know, but I believe in Jesus. You know, I don't see any of the transforming power. I'm not changed by the power of God. I'm not loving with him with my whole heart. I'm not serving him with my whole heart. But I love Jesus. And that's a dangerous place to be. I'm telling you right now, it's a dangerous place to be. And it's a deception. Okay, now you understand when it comes to the kingdom of God, there's no safety in crowds. Are you hearing me? All right. You know, there's safety in crowds, right? That may stand true with some things, but not when it comes to the kingdom of God. There's not safety in crowds, okay? The word teaches otherwise. It's a remnant that shall be saved. I want to be in the remnant. And I know you do too. All right, I'll go on. I'll read that again. This is Hebrews 6:12. It says that if you may not be sluggish. So let's don't be sluggish, right? All right. But imitators of those who through faith and patience, what do they do? What do they do? Well, the word says inherit the promises. Ah, okay. Who are these people? They are people of faith. And what are they? Of patience, right? What's that mean, patience? You know that patience, the real power of patience is that you have a greater expectation. Do you understand that's where patience comes from? If you're patient with someone, if you're patient with a little child that just knocked off your great-grandmother's vase and knocked it on the floor and smashed it to smithereens, okay, your response might be a little different than if they were 18 years old, right? Okay, you know, so you understand patience, the power of patience is having a greater expectation, whether it's patience with people, whether it's patience in Jesus. Patience is a position of waiting, right? Okay, so the more you enter into expectation, the more power you're going to find to be able to be patient, right? You know, I mean, you make yourself known. You make what needs to be said and the way it needs to be said. You know, but you're being patient about it. So we're being patient, waiting on God to fulfill that which he has promised. You will not inherit the promises if you don't have faith, and you'll not inherit the promises if you don't have patience. God's word says it. Right? And it's really letting him be Lord, isn't it? Right? You know, because he's not going to fulfill things your way and my way. He's going to fulfill them his way. Are you with me there? Okay. All right. Now, so that's what we see right here. with that right there. I'm going to read one more, and then I'm going to move on. And now, we could turn there, but I'm not going to turn. I'm going to quote it. Now, this is another one. And this is in 2 Corinthians 7, but it's verse 1. It says, therefore, listen, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. Listen to the latter part of it. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Okay? All right? So there are things that have to do with the flesh to be cleansed from. And then here in this scripture, it also says there's things of spirit. You know? Right? Things on the inside of you. Okay? But I want to tell you something. You know, you hear people say, well, you know, God, you know, he brings sanctification, but he doesn't change your personality. And no, he doesn't, but he takes the rottenness part out. Don't go leaning on personality as an excuse. Okay? As an excuse, which is nothing more than sin. All right? Because I just read you a scripture. It said that to inherit the promises of God, it's not only be cleansed of things in the flesh, but it also said the things of the spirit. Isn't that what it said? That's not my words. That's the Lord's words, right? So he changes the inside as he also changes the outside. He changes the behavior. He changes the mindset. He changes the attitude. He changes the demeanor. He changes the things that are not good. That are not good and they're not of God, right? And they're not of God. And he removes them. He washes them. And what's happening to you and me? What is happening? What is happening to you and me? A work is happening. What is that work that's happening? We're being perfected in holiness in the fear of the Lord. Right? Right? Did that just spell out a pathway for you and me as believers? Did that spell out a pathway for you and me? That there is a perfecting work that's going on in my life, your life, right? And that is what is, and he's dealing, what's he dealing with? He's dealing with your flesh. He's dealing with your flesh. What else is he dealing with? Your spirit, okay? That's what else he's dealing with. He's dealing with your spirit. Where are we going? Where are we going? We're being perfected. He's doing it. Perfecting holiness. Glory to God. In the fear of the Lord. Right? Boy, the fear of the Lord is great power to you and me. Right? It's great power. It's something that's very difficult to describe. But it's a work that comes of a grace by the Holy Spirit. And he instills it within you. The fear of the Lord. And then that fear of the Lord empowers you. You know, today's Christianity, today's preaching, and today's church world doesn't even really hardly talk about the fear of the Lord, right? Doesn't talk about the fear of the Lord. You'll find that you can't get very far without the fear of the Lord because it empowers you for obedience. It empowers you to suffer. I'm telling you now, if you're unwilling to suffer for his name's sake, you're not getting very far, right? You're just not, all right? And it's considered an honor. Are you hearing me? It's considered an honor in the Lord if you suffer for his name's sake, right? You know, so you'll be ostracized. You'll be lied about. You'll be criticized. You'll be persecuted for all those that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. It didn't mean only if you live in certain countries. No, because our lifestyle shines out, even shines out from the religious ones. And we live in a great big religious area. So this is where the promises come in. This is how they flow in your life. And you can see already that there's just conditions that go. It's not just a matter of picking up your Bible and saying, okay, and then I found this promise or that promise, and that's all right. But you can understand that God's going to fulfill it, but he also wants to do some things with you as he fulfills it. Right? You're going to have to take up faith. You're going to have to take up patience. You're going to have to wait on God to fulfill it His way. You're going to have to let God fulfill it His way. And you're going to love Him through the thick and thin, even if it appears like the promise is not coming through. You're still going to love Him through the thick and thin. Maybe that's what He's trying to put in you. I don't know. Are you with me? This is how you will see God fulfill His word to you. This is how the promises will come about in your life. And then another added point that I want to add here, you know, just with you'll have it, and that's the timing of the Lord, right? You know, the timing of the Lord. And then His method also. You might get it in your mind how that thing will unfold. We just do, right? We just do, okay? But you got to be willing that when it looks like that what you had in your mind is just not going to happen or has already passed you by, that you're still going to let the Lord do what He wants to do. He's faithful and true, and He cannot lie, and He will fulfill His good word. Because every single promise is yes and amen. Everybody say, in Him. Everybody say, in Him. Let's do it one more time a little bit louder. Everybody say, in Him. There you go. Hadn't got anything to do with whether you deserve it or not, or how good you've been lately. Okay, but you got to let these works take place. He's going to cleanse you in body or flesh. He's going to cleanse you in spirit, right? He is going to perfect you in holiness, in the fear of the Lord. That's what He's going to. You call the Lord. Lord, I'm believing on this. I'm believing on this. There are people that will take up healing scriptures that want to have nothing to do with the pathway that I just explained to you. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. There's a lot of people. It's better you walk with God now than you get into an emergency situation and you try to get a hold of Him, right? Okay? Let's do it now. Let's do it now and follow His way. And so you understand as you call on the Lord and as you believe upon the promises of God and you let Him do it, and you don't have to do anything else other than walk in the simplicity of faith and believe Him, and then these works begin to take place by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Okay? These works begin. You don't have to worry about it. He'll make you know what He wants from you. All right? He'll let you know. And you'll know that. And you know, you'll hear a word. Stop doing that. Don't be that anymore. Let go of it. Or whatever. You know, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord goes with the fulfillment of the promises of God. If you don't want to be holy, then you're not going to get any promises. The timing of the Lord, as I said just a minute ago. And then His method. His method is a real big one, I just have to say. His method is a real big one right there. Now, in that, and I'm closing now, okay? I'm closing now. I got a lot more on that. Too bad, Kathy, you're not providing lunch today. We would just keep on going till lunchtime. We won't do that today. But I do have something for you. And that the Spirit of the Lord just spoke this to me. And God's going to do great work in you today. And this is the scripture. Ecclesiastes, just listen. 11:1, you know it. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. The Holy Spirit spoke to me that this is a pathway today for some. There's been some blockages, all right, in fulfillment of some words. And there's some things you got to let go of this morning. You're going to cast your bread. And what your bread is that's which is precious, meaningful for you, important, treasured, valuable, and you're going to have to let go, and you're going to cast your bread upon the water. And you know what the water does, right? Okay, the waves, that's what the picture is, you know, and it washes it out, doesn't it? And it washes it completely out of your hands, doesn't it, right? You're not going to be able to control this thing. You're not going to be able to control it. You know, sometimes we try to control things, you know, by attitude or whatever else, right? And we do. And we can't affect it, but, you know, no, it's time to let go. Let go. Let it be washed away to where you can't even see it anymore. There's going to be a freedom that's going to come to you. There's going to be a joy that's going to come to you. There's going to be a faith that's going to come to you that over that will replace fear, worry, and doubt. And it won't be there no more. And you're going to be able to wait on the Lord to do what he says in this word. What does he say? What does he promise that he will do? I'll read it again. Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast your bread on the surface of the water. Then the promise of God, for you will find it after many days. That's the promise of God. And that's what we believe on, is that promise right there. What you got to do for it to come back to you, for it to come back to you, what looks like could never come back, what you think maybe it won't ever come back, and it'll come back God's way, but it'll come back to you. It will come back to you. The treasure, the fulfillment of it, the essence of it, is how I had the Spirit of the Lord speak it to me. The essence of it will come back to you. Where you think is all lost, it will come back to you. You got to cast your bread on the water. And you got to let go. Will you let go now, here? Spirit of the Lord's already spoke to you what it is, what he wants. You let go of it, and see, you're no longer going to try to control it anymore. You're going to rest in peace because you're believing on the promise of God. And the promise of God is that he's going to bring it back to you. Now, it said, after many days, right? Okay. You got in mind what you want? You got in mind where you need that? Right? Okay. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, right now, we cast our bread upon the waters. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, I cast my bread upon the waters. Now let me pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for every hindrance that's been there, Lord God, because we've not let go of it. We keep trying to hold on to it. We keep trying to hold on to a particular hope in a particular way. Lord God, right now, we take off all of the controls that we try to exercise, oh Lord God, on that, and we let go of it right now. And Lord God, we watch it wash away completely out of our control, completely out of our ability. We don't even have a plan anymore, oh Lord God. Oh, we're no longer fussing about it. We're no longer going to fume about it. We're no longer going to fear about it. We're not going to be concerned about it. We're not going to worry about it any longer, oh Lord God. Lord, we're not going to be burdened down with it anymore, oh Lord God. Lord, we've cast it, Lord God, upon the waters. And that, Lord God, Lord, your word now, oh Lord, we thank you as we let it go. We watch it get washed out. It gets washed out of our sight. It gets washed out of our sight. It gets completely washed out, oh Lord God. And there's no evidence of it ever coming back. There's no evidence. No, there's nothing. There's nothing there but the promise of God. And I want to thank you right now, Lord, as we, your people, stand on the promise of God that you will find it after many days. Everybody say amen. 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 Kathy, would y'all come? Oh, praise the Lord, huh? Let's all stand a minute.